And, well, I don't think I really need to talk. Christ. In song we had that Christ came down. He saved us by his grace. And he was risen from the, he was on the cross and risen from the dead. That's pretty good right there. But anyway, the last two times I spoke was on Matthew, showed him how he was the, Matthew showed him as king. And then I spoke on Mark, showed him how Mark was a servant. And so, and then Erlene spoke on John, you know, a real depth study on John, a real good study on John, showed how he was God, and that is our closest being. Each one of these, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one gets a little closer. And, you know, each time we get a little closer to Christ. You know, Matthew, we're far away. Mark, the servant, we get a little closer. And Luke, we even get a little closer. And that's what I'd like to speak, kind of speak on, is Luke. Here we go. Okay. And Luke, he wrote the book of Luke, and he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. Now in, and he was a Gentile. He was the only Gentile writer in the Bible. And we'll read it. Here, let's go to Colossians chapter 4. And let's read verses 11 through 14. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and him in Herapolis. Luke, the beloved vision, and Demas greet you. Luke is not put with the circumcision. He is not one of the circumcision. So only the circumcision were Jews, and he was not a Jew. He's a Gentile. In fact, he was saved on one of Paul's missionary journeys. So, but we know that that Luke is the one that wrote both of these. Let's read Luke 1 through 4. Luke 1, 1 through 4. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, for which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainties of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And then in Acts 1:1, we read, all former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. So here he wrote both of them to this Theophilus, who was apparently, you know, the way he put it was a pretty high up in the in his you know, he wasn't a servant or anything, you know, he was pretty high up. And it says, this suggests that some people has called this the Gentile gospel. This Luke is a Gentile because a Gentile wrote it. And then this also suggests that while the nation of Israel had rejected their Messiah, the good news is also going out to other nations. And I was listening to Art Eggers, and he said Luke and Acts is, Luke is the volume one, and Acts is kind of like volume two. It's a continuation of the same. And it says in Luke, Jesus is talking to his apostles, commissioning them and to send them out. And in Acts, we read of the direction that he sent them. And Luke shows Jesus as a man, as the peace offering. The peace offering, you can read the peace about the peace offering in Leviticus 3. That says the law of the peace offering. And then Leviticus 7, 11 through 38 is where it tells about the peace offering. And that in that you'll read that the that God got his part, and man is represented by the priest. They got their part. So both man and God got a portion of this. And we see in this how we're much close, you know, brings us closer than what Mark or Matthew did in this chapter. And there's a key phrase in this book. It's the Son of Man, and that is used 23 times in this book. And let's go over chapter 1, verse 7. And this is about the birth of John the Baptist. It says, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. So here we see that Elizabeth was barren. She was not able to have kids, and she was up in her years, too old to have kids. But let's see. But you know, God came in. Intervene and she had a kid. And then in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel, now this is a sixth month of Elizabeth carrying John the Baptist. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now this is the only time, only place that we are recorded this. This part is not in Matthew, Mark, or John. You know, this is the only place. That we see this recorded. And And going to verse 30, and it says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. This is the only time we see where it's told the name of Jesus before he was born. You know, and he was, you know, Mary went on and conceived, and like I said, this is the this is his man, the name of the man Jesus, you know, his man name, and Jesus means salvation of Jehovah, which is that's what he did. He came to us. And then in Luke 2, verses 1 and 2, says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxation was first made when Cyrus was governor in Syria. So here we see that Luke gives us accounts by Gentile happenings, what happened during the Gentile times. This is the account that that Luke gives us. And then in verse 6 and 7, And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, and they should and she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Okay, here we see that Jesus was born a baby, and he was a lowly, you know, a lowly birth. He had to be put in a manger. Said we don't read this in Matthew or Mark, you know, because you know, in Mark, you know, they don't give details of a servant, you know, they really don't care, and they won't put this in Matthew because he shows him as a king. But here, you know, Luke shows him as a man, as a lowly man, and he was totally dependent upon his mother, you know, because he was just a baby. He was helpless, just as we were. And in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So here we see that the shepherds was the first to come and see Jesus, the lowly shepherds. You don't see this in Matthew, you know, because the first ones that Matthew mentioned is the wise men. But here we see that the shepherds were the first one to come and see Jesus. And they, and verse 11 and through 4, okay, I read 11, all the way to 14, let's read 12. And this shall be a sign unto you, and shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass as angels were gone away from them, to heaven, the shepherd. Well, let me read 15. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them in heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So here we see the shepherds are the first preachers. They go out and they tell people, everyone they saw, you know, about Christ. And so here we see that the shepherds were the first preachers. And in this, we see the view of the peace offering. So God and man was brought together in common. And in verse 13, it says, and suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, you know, so here we see the heavens are opened up, and a multitude of the heavenly host is coming down praising God and saying, so here the heavens are open, so God and man are brought together. And this is what the peace offering did. You know, it brought man and God together. And in, let's go over to chapter 3 and verse 21. And this is the baptism of Jesus. It's written a little different here than it is in Matthew. It says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So here we see in Matthew, we see John the Baptist questioning, you know, Christ, you know, says, you know, I need to be baptized, you, and, you know, Jesus said no, you know, he baptized. But here we don't see any questioning of, you know, John just baptizing, what we see here, and the heavens was opened up. You know, so here we see the peace offering again, you know, the heavens open and God and man are brought together. Okay, and let's go to 23. Now, this is the genealogy of Jesus. It's different than in Matthew for a reason. And it says in 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And in Matthew, it says that Joseph, that Jacob begat Joseph. You know, so Matthew, the king has to be led through the father, you know, but this is showing, they say that Heli was Mary's father. So Joseph was his son-in-law. It don't say he beget Joseph, he just said the son of Heli. So this lineage here is through Mary, you know. And in Luke, let's go to 31, verse 31, and it says, which was the son of Meli, which was the son of Menon, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. Now Solomon's line, you know, in Matthew it goes Solomon because Joseph came from Solomon. But let's go to Jeremiah 22:30. It says, thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Solomon's line was rejected. He had 1,000 women. And each one of them had a different god, and he started going to all these different gods. And his line was rejected. But God used Nathan, was also his son, and God saved the line of David through Nathan. And in Genesis 3:15, let me read that. We've had that quite a few times. It says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So with going through the woman is the woman's seed, you know, which is, you know, Christ is the woman's seed, and it's the one that bruised Satan's head. And so that is why, you know, another reason that we're going, that Luke takes us through Mary's. And in Matthew Gospel, the genealogy stopped with Abraham. But we go on to verse 38, and it says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So here Luke is showing Christ Jesus, as the second man, the head of a new creation. You know, he takes him all the way back to Adam. And this shows us the genealogy. That Christ, that Luke is presenting him as the second Adam, you know. And let's go to 4:17. Here we see the peace offering again. And it says, 17 through 9. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And here we see the condition that man was in. You know, he was poor, he was brokenhearted, you know, sin did all this, and deliverance and recovering of sight to the blind. We were blind, and Christ came, and through his salvation, you know, now we're healed. You know. And let's go to, let's see. See, he has lifted us up out of the rubbish that we were in, and brought us and much closer to Christ. And let's go to verse 25. "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sapphira in the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." Now here we see, now both these the widow and these lepers were both Gentiles. You know, that they were all Gentiles. So here, you know, we see that they are, but the blessing has also come to the Gentiles and not only to the Jews. Okay, let's go to chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, let me see, is that right? Oh, yes. "And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought." Now this is when they was trying to fish and they hadn't caught anything all night. And then Christ came up and Simon answered and said, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. So here we see that you know, of all the work that man tries to do, you know, they can't do anything without Christ. This is another form of the peace offering. There was a, you know, they could do nothing until Christ came and was with them at that time. Let's go to chapter 7. And verse 41, it tells us of a grace that was extended to us. 7:41. "And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the one 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them. Tell me therefore which one of them will love him most. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged." So here we see, you know, the peace offering. You know, God has, he forgave both of these people. And he says, which one? It shows the grace that's on display and manifested by the peace offering. The one that saw his need was the ones more, was the one that was indebted more. And then the more we go on with Christ, the more we see, the more we need him, you know. So this is, you know, the one that didn't know, he probably didn't appreciate it as much, and until we see our needs, you know, we don't appreciate it. And in verse 50, and this is a let's start reading from 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And then in verse 50 he says, and he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Here it says, her faith saved, not her tears, you know, not the things that she did, but it was just her faith. And that's what saves us. It's just our faith. You know, it is by faith. We can't do anything to be saved. It's strictly by faith. I'm running out of time here. And let's go to 8:26. Okay. Oh, there we go. 26 through 28. And this is where Jesus cast out demons. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tomb. Here we see a man, he is full of devils, and he wore no clothes. That means he didn't have any, he was not robed with righteousness, and he did not abode in the house. He had no fellowship with God. That was the condition of man, you know, before Christ came. It's recorded a little different in the other Gospels, but in 31 he said they besought him, the devils besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. You know, they said that I think in Matthew that said you come time to judge us. He says it's not our time to be judged, and which is right. God did not come to judge. There is a time that he's going to judge them, and that will be but this was not the time. And so that's mainly what I wanted to bring out, was, you know, how Luke shows man as a Luke shows Christ as a man, and that it is the peace, you know, and that shows the peace offering, how the heavens were opened, and the peace offering brought man and God together. And that's, you know, I think I'm out of time. So that's. That's the word we took it in Bible school.